Back in my college days, I had the privilege, I counted it one, to go to Philadelphia College of Bible, Cairn University, and it's only about a half hour ride from here. So I had the best of both worlds. You know, several of us did. We'd, you know, go to college, be up there during the week and be able to come home for the weekend, still be here involved at Emmanuel and enjoy, you know, some better food, that sort of thing, you know, at home. And but during those times, a couple of us, Mark Pankos being one, we were involved with the primary department downstairs, serving in there with the little kids. Bob D'Alessandro was the head of the primary department for 25 years or more, and we would do a puppet show, me and Mark Pankos. I think it got passed down to us from Dave Miller, Mark Thompson. I don't know who others may have done it, but, you know, and Mark would be Buddy Beagle, and I would be Church Mouse. And we would, of course, to the kids, you know, and have our own little, you know, you had one main theme and the rest of it was all ad lib. And on one occasion, the theme was patience. We were telling the kids, and Mark started, Buddy Beagle was singing a song. I never heard it before. Buddy went, hey, Church Mouse, you want to sing a song with me? Sure, yeah, you know, and he started singing, have patience, don't be in such a hurry. I don't know how many of you know that song. I had never heard it before. Wasn't one in our household, you know, when we were singing It's a Small World After All and all those other McDonald family tunes, but we didn't sing the Have Patience song, and it stuck with me through the years, and a year ago or so, I'm driving with my grandson Grayson in the car seat behind me. And I said, I got a song for us to sing. And I said, here, it's the patience song. And I started saying, have patience, don't be in such a hurry. And for whatever reason, spontaneously, he just started singing, no, 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 no. No, no, I went, no, Grayson, come on, you're being silly. Sing with me the Have Patience song. Have patience, have patience. He's giggling. No, 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 no. So it's become the no-no song. Whenever I sing it, he sings no. Now, I don't know what, I'm well aware he was not debating the virtue of patience, right? He doesn't have any, nor do any kids, right? They got to learn patience, right? But what struck me while it was happening was my awareness of how he, in a silly way, was singing what my old nature sings, right, to the Holy Spirit. In other words, I've come to faith in Jesus Christ. And my friends, if you're watching online or you've never been here before, if you've never come to faith in Jesus Christ, it's really the only thing I want you to hear today. Because as a child of God, we want to grow, and we look at Scripture, and we want to grow. But, oh, dear friends, there are so many voices out in our world, so many voices. Some of them have messages that have value. Others are destructive. But in the midst of all those voices, dear friend, you need to hear the voice of Jesus. That's why we sang Jesus is calling. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Right? Jesus says, unless you're born again, you will never see the kingdom of heaven. And I remember as a teenager sitting here in that, here in that, and realizing, what? I can know I'm going to heaven. And hearing the gospel that Jesus Christ died for my sin, rose again from the dead, and if I would come to him in faith, he'd give me a brand new life, right? And when he does, what does he do? The Holy Spirit comes to live in you and wants to start to produce fruit, right? And that fruit, we read it in Scripture, love, joy, peace, patience. But what happens? Often the Holy Spirit is singing to me, Vincent, have patience. And my old nature's gone, no, 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 right? We're going to be sharing communion today, right? And you don't have to take it out right now because we're going to do it at the end of the service. But if you don't see one of these near you, you might have to slide somewhere to get one, because at the end of the sermon, we're going to be sharing the Lord's table. But as we do, we're fixing our eyes on Jesus, what he did for us 2,000 years ago. And when we see Christ on the cross, we're going to see that what? God's display of what? Patience for us. And hopefully see how the patience of God can filter into our lives and how quickly we follow our own triggers or whether we follow the patience of God. So let's pray as we look into God's word. Almighty God, I thank you for your word today. Let there be nothing between my soul and you, Jesus, right now. Clear away the clutter, all that stuff that wants to build me up and not, you know, build up my own strength and efforts, Lord. Tear it down and remind me how much I need you today. I need you. Let me hear your words. Let me listen. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I want to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where I left off last week. We've been studying this if you're visiting us today. And verse 15, we see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. There'll be more verses for the weeks ahead, but that's what we're going to look at today. These verses are in the midst of a group that Paul's reflecting upon, right? I told you Jesus is coming again, Paul says. He's coming, it's exciting, but keep your feet on the ground and live the way you're supposed to live. Don't just be focused on Christ coming again. Live focused on life and people in view of that. And he gives us these verses, but they all spring out of, I think, the last phrase we saw last week in verse 14. For in verse 14 at the end, he said what? Be patient with everyone. Be patient with everyone. Be patient with people. Be patient in your own life. In other words, let the patience of God impact you. And there's a verse of scripture that tells us about it, and Paul writes to the Romans in Romans chapter 2, and he says this in verse 4, do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Paul's talking to some people that are like, man, look at these sinners over here. Look at these lousy, rotten people over there. And Paul says, hey, have you lost fact in your own life how patient God was in waiting for you, in how patient he was in his plan and sending his son to die and pay the price for you, how patient he was for your time to come when you would respond in faith. Look at the patience of God. When you see Christ on Calvary, fix on it, because your life has quick triggers that your sin nature is built in. And you need to see Calvary's tree to defeat them, to have the patience of God, to let God's patience work in your life. He has displayed it to you, and it's there in verse 14, and out of it springs all what follows, right? God's patience is the pool that we draw from. Lord, you have been so patient with me. Lord, let your patience be the pool that I draw from that allows me to respond to all the different life situations that follow in these verses. When my human nature has gone, no, 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 God's saying, yes, be patient. Let my response be what you follow instead of your quick trigger. And there's four different ones, and you know, it's kind of like sometimes I give you words. My points today are verse 15, verse 16, verse 17, verse 18, because each one of them is almost like a proverb. It's almost like you're reading a book of Proverbs in this little section, right? But what did we read in verse 15? The first thing we want to see, right? He said what? See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. And immediately, I don't know if you see it, but I see a major problem here. The major problem is, I don't want to do that. Right? I love Tony Evans in his study Bible. Tony Evans is very honest, and he just simply says this, these commands are simple, but following them certainly is not. You know, we can understand them. They're not hard to understand. You don't need a real great scholar to understand what Paul just said. Don't retaliate. Don't swing back. Don't, you know, get that vengeance inside of you. Matter of fact, he tells us to pay attention to it because the words he uses there, the beginning of verse 15, see that. Give careful attention. Why? Because he's going to give us a negative and a positive. And if you ever heard the Apostle Paul, what he writes in Romans chapter 7, Paul says, the things I don't want to do, I do. The things I want to do, I don't do. That's, this verse is one of those. My heart wants to do the things that he says don't do, and my heart doesn't want to do the things it says that he says to do. You know, it's in this verse, the initial part is what? Don't have a quick trigger toward misjudgment or injustice. Be patient in your response. Why? Because there are truths that we've been given in Scripture. For one of them is in Proverbs chapter 19, right? Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 11. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 11. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger. But what after that? It is his glory to overlook a transgression or an offense. We've said it before. A follower of Jesus Christ is not somebody who's supposed to be saying very often, I'm offended. Right? That's just not supposed to be something that springs out of us very quickly, right? It is a glory to overlook an offense. Powerful verse. A lot of people love to have, they'll say to me, for our wedding, can you read part of 1 Corinthians 13? I say, yeah, fantastic. I'm thrilled you want to have 1 Corinthians 13 read at your wedding. But I do want you to know, if you see 1 Corinthians 13 in any way as being a romantic passage, it's not. The love being talked about here is not about tiptoeing through the tulips, right? It's not about, you know, just this. The love that's being talked about here is powerful, sacrificial. I'm thrilled that people want it at their wedding. I just want them to know that's what it is, right? Because in verse 5, when he says, love does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, it does not take into account a wrong suffered. Those things are contrary to my human nature. Vince seeks his own. Vince takes into account a wrong suffered. And he's telling us, don't do that. What a glory it is to overlook an offense. Does it mean that we don't? It doesn't mean you don't even notice that you've been wronged. It doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean like, yeah, I didn't even notice that. Was that directed at me? Yeah, they said that they thought you were really ugly. You know, I didn't know. I didn't even know they were talking about me. It doesn't mean we don't ever notice anything. It means it's almost like spiritual, wiper blades, you know? Yep, I saw what the bird just put on my windshield, and off it goes. You know, it's on to the net. You know, my vision stays clear. You know what I mean? And that sense, even in the process, my pride can be, because there may be a time where Greta has done something, and I overlook that. I'm not going to take that into account. But I want her to know that I'm overlooking that, right? In other words, it's pride. It's pride that wants that inside is like, Lord, I'm going to overlook that offense. But boy, I hope she sees that I'm overlooking that offense. You know, I'm just saying that sense of our human spirit, right? That just gets so caught up in that. Now listen, Paul's not saying that we never call out injustice. He's not saying if there's a group saying, hey, we feel that we are being overlooked. We feel that we are being mistreated. That our response to them is, hey, stop it. Never take into account a wrong suffered. No, in the beginning of the church, very beginning, in Acts chapter 6, there's a group in the church saying, we feel like you're getting better treatment than we are. And Paul says, deal with it. Address it. He's not saying ignore injustices, ignore mistreatment. What he's talking about is you personally. Yeah, me personally, I should be letting the patience of God be what controls me. How patient God was with me. that it would flow into my life, that my default would be not to follow that quick trigger to retaliate, but to be ready to forgive. To be ready to forgive. At least, you know, one of the, I don't want to, it's always been part of human nature, but I see it happening many times in exchanges on social media, in life in our country, is just people not even checking to see if they have the right information before they retaliate. Just people that are doing vicious things to other people because someone on social media puts their picture up and says, this person did this, and it's the wrong person. And they're getting all this retaliation from people who weren't even involved, but just feel like we're the ones who are going to make things right. You know, we as believers should be people who, the patience of God, look at Christ on the cross. Lord, you were so patient with me. I may not understand why this mistreatment was sent my way. They may be hurting and they just need to lash out at somebody. Lord, let me not take revenge, but instead what? Seek after. What's he say there in verse 15? Seek after that which is good for one another. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 said, you've heard it said, love those who love you and pray, you know, but I'm telling you, love those who are your enemies. Pray for them, right? Who persecute you. And the word he uses there is the same word Paul's using here when Paul says seek after. It's the same word. Paul's saying the same passion and energy that those who want to persecute me bring to hurt me, I want to flip it and use the same passion and energy to do good to them. That doesn't come natural. That's a good time to cry because that doesn't come natural. My nature goes, I don't want to do that, right? That's what he calls us to. I love the song by Whiteheart that came out years ago. But I remember when I first heard it and just being like, wow. Somehow someone has hurt you again and said things and done things you don't understand. It's easy just to think of your pride, so easy to get angry inside, but let your very first thought be love. Let your very first thought be love. Chuck Swindoll says, just imagine the revolution that would occur in our families, churches and society, if retaliation were extinguished by forgiveness and love. See Christ. Oh God, I see him on the cross. You were so patient with me. Let me pause in your patience and not quick trigger. Let me respond with your patience. Number 2, verse 16, right? What do we read there? Rejoice always. Sometimes you've heard, you know, maybe a little Bible trivia. What's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. That's only by about 2 letters, right? Rejoice always is pretty close, right? You know, but he's calling out to us to be patient with what triggers you in life to what? Get so sour. So there are some people, there are some Christians who just waking up in the morning and realizing they're still here on this broken, sin-cursed earth. Another day on. Man, I can't wait to be with the Lord in heaven and get out of this rotten, lousy place. Listen, there's no problem with you wanting to be with Jesus. It's okay every day if you say, man, I can't wait to be with the Lord. And I know Christians who can't wait to be with the Lord, many of you, and still have a beautiful, rejoicing spirit. But it's possible to have that sense of, man, that's just that sour sense, and you're focused on what? You're focused on comparing yourselves to others, or you're focused on disappointment, or you're focused on what others are getting that you're not, and almost to a point that when someone else gets blessed, somehow that's a negative thing for you, right? Because you didn't get that, or somebody thanks God for someone else, and well, they didn't thank God for me when I did that. That sour is the only word I can come up with. That sour lifestyle of discontentment, of negative focus. Paul says there may be all sorts of things that trigger that in you. Maybe it's a person. You're doing fine, and that person comes in the room. Oh, you know, they just ruin everything for you, right? Maybe it's a time of the year. Maybe it's you know, finances. Maybe it's watching the news. Maybe it's when you feel like some of, you know, your turf is getting taken. Whatever it is, Paul says, listen, don't quick trigger into this sour. Rejoice. How? Look at Christ on the cross. See the patience of God for you. Look at God's patience for you. Look what Paul said to the Romans in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, right? That God demonstrates his love to us in that while Vince McDonald was yet a sinner, and that doesn't mean there was still a little bit of sin left in me. It means while I was absolutely, completely, only a sinner, Christ died for me, right? And let that verse say, wow, Lord, oh, your patience toward me. And let that verse launch you to Romans 8 and verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? I'll tell you what, if you get your eyes on the cross and Christ there, you go from that quick trigger of discontentment to Calvary's tree and you realize God's patience for you and you look at all he has in store for you and that he didn't stop loving you at the cross. He's loving you today. He's doing so much for you. Whew. I can't help but come away from it rejoicing. Wow. Why? Because we have so much to be rejoicing about. So much to be. William Barclay says, true Christianity is an exhilarating, not a depressing thing. Doesn't mean you always feel happy. I battled depression. In the midst of it, I can say, I didn't lose my Christian joy. I was tasting that emptiness, that heaviness of my fallen human body that I'm still living in. But in my heart, I knew it's going to be a day where I'm never going to feel this again. Going to be a day when I'm with him, and it's only because of what he has done. And I don't deserve that, but he has given it to me. And your spirit can rejoice in the midst of heaviness, right? Our joy is built on knowing how much we have to be joyful about. Rejoice. Third thing, what? Verse 17, what does he say? Pray without ceasing. Again, I see the patience of God being an answer for me here. But Vince, don't rush ahead with your, you know, when I say the trigger, things that trigger my response, right? There's a problem. There's this, there's that. And what is my natural response? Praying without ceasing? No, often it's trusting Vincent. All right, okay, then how do I do this? How do I fix that? This person's not happy and that person's not happy. How do I make them both happy when they want two different things? How do I do this? How do I do that? How do I fix this? How do I do that? How do I handle this? And there are times in my life, I confess to you, that I'll be in the midst of a situation and realize, Vincent, and I'll stop. You know, and I will literally sing, oh, what peace I often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain I bear. All because I do not carry everything to God in prayer. And I'll say, Lord, I'm sorry. And in that moment, wow. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord. Thank you. It's all yours. It's your life. It's not mine. But for that patience, that when that trigger comes, when that issue comes, that makes me want to launch in trusting myself to look at the cross. Lord, your patient love for me. Oh, Lord, let it settle me right now. Take my hands off the trigger and let me trust you and let me just talk to you. Let me pray. Pray, pray. Paul's talking about a settled attitude of prayer. When you read that verse, pray without ceasing. How do I do that? Well, obviously, if I'm checking out at the Wawa, and I want to pay, I don't want the person going, hang on a second. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I want them to do your job and let me get out of here, right? But it's a spirit of prayer. It's an awareness throughout the day, right? It's a sense of talking to God throughout the day so that when that trigger to respond with trusting myself comes, oh, the patience of God will settle upon me. Vince? Why don't you call out to me? I'm the one who sent my son on the cross. I'm the one who's got so much more for you. Pray. Lastly, the fourth thing, verse 18, right? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. One of the ways sometimes to knowing God's will is keeping that in mind. Somebody comes and says, I don't know, Pastor, should I take this job or shouldn't take this job? Well, let's obviously God's not going to write it in heaven, and there's no verse in Scripture that tells you which job to take, but let me ask you about your life right now. You find yourself grumbling all the time, complaining, or you find yourself pretty grateful? I've been grumbling a lot. Well, be careful making a decision when you're caught in the grips of grumbling, right? When you're caught in the grips of ingratitude. Because if you're looking for God's will, he's already told you. His will is, in everything, give thanks, right? How quick our trigger can be to grumble. Thanksgiving for Paul is so high on his priority for us as believers, right? To the Ephesians, he writes in Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 4, and there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7, what does he say? Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, overflowing with gratitude. The church really should almost be like a pinball machine, that we just bounce off of thankful people everywhere we go. Right? That this place is filled with people who are thankful. And I'm, boink, oh, they're thankful, boink, they're thankful. Just this constant sense of shared gratitude to God, thanksgiving, because Paul calls us to it all the time. Now, remember what he doesn't call us to. He doesn't call us to be thankful for everything, because some people get that mixed up sometimes. He says to be thankful in everything. Years ago, a drunk driver blew through a light, hit Hannah Cranefeld. Oh, really, broke many of her bones. And, that's not her last name now. I forget Hannah's married last name. Anyhow, sorry, Nick, if you're here. But my point is that do we say, thank you, God, for that drunk driver that hit her? No. Lord, we give you thanks in it all that you knew that you're going to work in it in a way. We're not thankful for evil. We're not thankful for vicious violence. We are thankful in the midst of all things that God is sovereignly working. And that's what he says, gratitude. See Christ on Calvary. Let the patience of God, keep your hand off that quick trigger of grumbling, and let the patience of God lead you to what? Thankfulness. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. When you read these verses, you may say, I'm not going to be able to do this. No, neither am I. But Jesus can. He lives in me. The Holy Spirit lives in me. And he gives us the ability always, if you see those verses, verse 15, always, verse 16, always, verse 17, without ceasing, verse 18, in everything. In other words, let the patience of God be your mindset that flows through all of these areas. A couple of years back, I'm a chaplain with the Maple Shade Police Department, and they let me go into to the shooting range, Burlington County shooting range, and to kind of, as they were doing training, and our Lieutenant Brian Weiss, he's our range master, the head of the firearms and shooting instruction. And so he was giving me lessons in gun safety. And I had never held a handgun before, you know what I mean? And he'd do this, hear this, there. He said, Vince, get your finger off the trigger. Your trigger finger goes up here on the side of the gun. Now, what you're going to do is take your left foot, and as you position, Vince, get your finger off the trigger. Put your finger up on the side of the gun. Okay. Now, you get yourself positioned. Now, as you lean in, get those sights, Vince, get your finger off the trigger. I'm telling you, he probably had to say it to me a half dozen times. And he was like, I don't know, man. I don't know what we're going to do. Like, you got your finger. It just, I'm going, I don't know what it is. It's I know what it is in me. It's my old nature. And it wants the finger on the trigger. And God says, have patience. My old nature says, no. Have patience. Get your finger off the trigger. Get your eyes on Calvary's tree. Father in heaven, how we need you. We need you. What a savior you are. Help us to see Jesus. Help us to swim in your patience toward us and let it make such a difference. Let us be hopeful. You can do these things in us. Greater is he. Greater are you, Lord, than any foe we face. Teach us. And when we fail, we'll confess it and you forgive us and set us on the course again. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.